Thank you for listening to this recording from Chestnut Hill Baptist Church. Today, Reverend Donald Sipe joins us preaching out of 2 Timothy chapter 1. We hope you find this message valuable and encouraging.
The scripture reading is 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 through 14. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to live a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. One day Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother. And Jesus said, "Come follow me, and I will make you disciples." At once they followed him. Paul the Apostle, in like manner, was carrying on the tradition of making disciples. He was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, "I know whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. So follow the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me." Around AD 68, the Apostle Paul was languishing in a prison cell in Rome. He had been put there by the Roman Emperor Nero, and Paul was waiting to be called before him a second time. This second time, Paul knew what the result would be. Nero was known as one of the most evil of the Roman emperors. So this next time he knew what the results would be. He would be taken to the appropriate place, and his head would be severed. Both Timothy and Paul expected that this letter would be the last letter Timothy, his son in faith, would receive from him. Normally, society is interested in knowing the last words that people say. They somehow feel that the last words are more important than any other words that they have spoken. This doesn't mean that these words were the most important words that Paul has ever spoken, but maybe they were to Timothy. Any words that Paul wrote to anyone at this time were important, especially to those who were desiring to grow in the faith. The subject of this letter was important to Timothy. He was looking to Paul for advice on how to deal with the church in Ephesus, especially his relationship with the leaders and the people of the church concerning problems that he was encountering. He recognized that he needed advice from Paul concerning these matters. Both the church and his personal health needed Paul's advice. Paul had already given him advice concerning his stomach problems. He said, "Take a little wine for your stomach's sake," 1 Timothy 5:13. Timothy was also known to have a fearful spirit, which resulted in a timid disposition. He was also troubled by the cruel and persistent Roman persecution, which Timothy had little natural power to handle. The persecution from the Roman government was very intense, especially under the ruler Nero. Paul was now passing the torch to Timothy, so it was important for him to stay strong in a time when the world was collapsing around him. It is certainly good advice for us today. The key is life. The key to this letter was given in 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus." This was not a reference to the life which is to come in the future, but the life we are living in the here and now. As we think of this life, our life, we are reminded that God was prepared for the problems of our life that we will encounter every day. It is the life we are to live in Christ Jesus. This life, the life of a Christian, is not a life that detours around problems, but it is a way that goes right through the middle of life, which includes the occasional bumps and potholes of everyday living. He reminds Timothy of his faith, which has been shown to his grandmother Lois and also to his mother Eunice. This faith is now evident in Timothy. Paul now makes his first charge to Timothy. That charge is, guard the truth. This is the truth of the gospel, which tells us that when we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive from him the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. This is the Spirit which gives us power, love, and a sound mind. We do not receive the spirit of fear, especially as we serve him. Jesus tells us time and again, "Fear not, for I am with you." So we have the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul then takes the idea of guarding the truth and expands on it. He tells Timothy not to be ashamed of his own testimony about the Lord, and neither should he be ashamed of Paul, even though Paul is in prison. Although he, Paul, is suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ, his suffering is by the power of God. Paul tells us that he is saved by his faith. Faith in Jesus. Christ is called, faith in Jesus Christ, sorry. He is called to live the holy life, a life we live not by any merit within us, but because of everything that Christ has done for us. Because of his death and resurrection, he has destroyed death and given us new life and immortality through the gospel. guard the truth. Now he says, teach the truth. Paul then reminds Timothy of what he heard from him. It was sound teaching. This teaching strengthens both faith and love in Christ Jesus. He tells him, guard this teaching which I have entrusted to you. Guard this teaching with the help of the Holy Spirit, which is in you and in all believers. Then he says, be strong. He assures Timothy and all of us that we receive the Holy Spirit when we receive Jesus as our Savior. As the Holy Spirit enters our lives, he gives to each believer a spiritual gift. And this gift enables the Christian to be strong in the Lord and to understand the truth of the Word, which has been given to us through Jesus Christ. With this power and strength, we are to understand and guard the truth of the Word. Jesus tells us that his Word is truth. God's Word is truth for living. In 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, which we read, Paul tells Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. His laying on of hands was symbolic of the power Timothy received when the gift of the Spirit was given to him by the Holy Spirit. We are each given at least one spiritual gift through the Holy Spirit. Some, like Paul, were no doubt given more than one, but each believer was given at least one. This gift then enables a Christian to be strong in the Lord and to strengthen the church. Christians are able to understand and proclaim the truth of the Word and to know that Jesus suffered and died for our sins. He arose again from the dead to give us eternal life. And one day he will come again in glory and take us home to be with him in heaven. When we acknowledge our belief in him, he will give us renewed power through the Holy Spirit which lives in us. There are several lists which reveal the spiritual gifts that are given to each believer for the good of the church. These gifts enable us to participate in the life of the church and build up the church using our primary gift. These gifts are called our motivational gifts and are used to serve the church and the people and the world through our ministry gifts of service. In Romans 12, we are given a list of the spiritual gifts which God gives. These are gifts that he gives as he will. All churches should have received all the gifts necessary to serve God in their ministry. These are our primary gifts and enable us to serve the Lord. The gifts are for the common good, and we are to use our gifts to build up the church. This gift is an act of grace given by God through the Holy Spirit. We can't earn it, but we can refuse it. We should learn what it is and apply it to help build up the church for the kingdom of God. Paul represents our gifts by using the symbol of a flame. It seems that if our gift is not used, it is like a fire which unattended eventually burns out. But if there is an ember, a spark, we can reignite the flame. One way to restart the fire is to fan it. We use the expression, blow on the embers. Reignite the fire and use your gift to its maximum. Keep the flame alive. Fan the flame and keep the fire burning. This is the point that Paul is making to Timothy. Be diligent in tending the fire. Don't let the flame, which is the gift you a gift given to you by the Holy Spirit, burn out. Fan it into flame. Imagine that you are one, that you are the one that has a gift needed here in this church. If it is not used, the task either does not get done, or someone else has to do it. If it is done by someone not called for the job, or who does not have the gift to fill it, the work may not get done at all. Think of these spiritual gifts and determine which one you have. The gifts are proclaiming truth, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, showing mercy. Paul illustrates these gifts to the church in a way that is similar to the way he talks of the body. There are many parts, but only one body. No single part of a body is without its function. Every part is essential to the functioning of the body. The same is true with the spiritual gifts. They are essential. They are an essential part of the body of Christ, the church. There are two gifts especially that play a prominent role in the church. One of these includes those believers who can read the scripture and determine the spiritual meaning from it. And the other is those with the gift of speech. Some can see the hand of God in history and can teach others about it. And then others can communicate the message clearly and make the word clear to our understanding. But to some degree, all of us, all, are expected to read the word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through it to our understanding. Also, everyone is expected to tell others the good news as it applies to their life. When Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will make you," he said the same words to everybody. And when he said, "Go into all the world and preach," he says the same thing to all. There are no exceptions. That is why Paul told Timothy to be strong in the Lord. His primary strength comes with the exercising of his spiritual gift. Some people have special talents that they choose to use for their own gratification. God calls them to use their talent for the church, but some put themselves above the Lord and do it for their own good and their own satisfaction, not for building up the church. We are to do things for Christ and Him crucified. When you are working for the Lord, you sometimes have disappointments. Not everything goes the way you plan it. Paul is an example of things that go wrong. Here he is serving the Lord and is now in a terrible prison cell. He only eats if someone brings him a meal. He can only write if someone brings him a candle. It is a terrible place. And what of his future? He can expect only death. He is warning Timothy that not everything will go smoothly, but he tells him to be strong and fear not, for Christ will be with him. He reminds him that Christ has already overcome these things. He tells him to remember that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We know that Christ has overcome the world. Sometimes it is hard to understand why the teaching of some people, even popular preachers, is different from the truth that is in the Bible. Paul assures Timothy that the message he proclaims is the truth. It is sound teaching. He tells Timothy to be sure to guard it and teach it, and always use the power of the Spirit to help him. Allow the message to build your faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Paul then reminds Timothy that the world is filled with many different kinds of people. He says in Timothy 2:20, remember in a great house, that is the world, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earthenware. Some are for noble use, some for ignoble. Each of us is going to be used of God in one way or another. He reminds Timothy, if you want to be used for a noble purpose, then shun youthful passions. Timothy was a young person. If you choose to be used for righteousness, it will result in faith, love, peace. The righteous person will call upon the Lord from a pure heart. Near the end of his letter, Paul tells him again to be patient in suffering, persistent in truth. Don't be discouraged when you suffer, and be diligent in telling the truth. God's word is the truth. His final charge is a combination of his emphasis throughout his letter. He tells Timothy to study the word so he can know why he believes, and he is to proclaim the good news as he understands it. For the word of God, for the word of God is truth. When we look at 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, we see that he is giving his final charge to Timothy. He tells him, I charge you in the presence of God the Father and Christ Jesus the Son, preach the word. Proclaim it. Declare the great truth that God has given you. We need to proclaim it because there are those who have doubts. The world is full of doubters. Just look around. We need to convince the doubters that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and he can save them if they only believe. There are those who are full of sin, those who cannot be convinced because they are full of evil influences. They need to be shown that if they do not change, they can look forward to the punishment that awaits them. They need to change and accept the one who has paid the penalty for their sin, Jesus, our Savior. Fear fills the world. People are afraid of the evil that is prevalent in our society. They need to be charged with the solution to the things that are happening in the world today. Murder, strife, bitterness, to name a few. When Jesus came to earth, he came in the name of peace. We need to accept Jesus, the Prince of Peace, if we desire to overcome our fears. We must proclaim truth because God is watching us. Christ is watching us. The whole world is watching us. Our faithfulness is under scrutiny at all times. Jesus said as he was lifted up into heaven, go and make disciples of all nations. Surely I am with you to the end of the age. In the beginning, Jesus said, come and I will make you disciples. Then at the close, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations. Come to Jesus, go with Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, you who have called us with a holy calling and have imparted to us the Holy Spirit and given to us your holy word, make us ever to be faithful. God grant that our eyes may be lifted above the routine of our daily life to the great things that lie beyond the invisible curtain. Let us see ourselves even now in your presence. Help us to be strong in the midst of weakness. and faithful in the midst of all that is false. We ask this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
For more information about Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, or to subscribe to these audio messages via our podcast, visit our website at chestnuthillbaptist.org. You can also write to us at Chestnut Hill Baptist Church, 2 Bethlehem Pike, Philadelphia, PA, 19118.